and he oversees the healing rooms. Interesting, and just we could probably spend the rest of the year just reading testimonies from the healing rooms of miracles, supernatural, amazing things that God's done in the healing rooms, of just touching and healing bodies. Interestingly, Chris has a special needs daughter who hasn't been healed.
Wow.
But Chris has incredible faith to see God do miracles. Anyway, Chris put a post out this morning, and I'll just read it to you, right? He says he wanted to bring an update to a testimony he shared last year. He says, "I love the tenderness and kindness of Jesus. Last night, while eating at a restaurant in Tokyo, I felt that I was to grab the hand of the waiter and ask him to join us in giving thanks for the food."
Wow.
Okay. The precious man falls to his knees, crying and shaking. We give thanks for the meal, and he went back to his job. He said he soon came back. He came back again, and I asked him, "Is there something we could pray for you tonight?" He breaks down weeping again, and he tells me that he and his wife have been unable to get pregnant. What a divine appointment that God would put him and me together in Tokyo. Today, the person next to you is most likely a divine appointment from God. Reach and love on somebody. You could hold the answer that they need. Here's the update a year later on February 6th. The couple welcomed their long-awaited miracle baby, a boy, into the world. And he says, today, March 3rd, I'm in Japan this week. I got to meet up with my waiter again.
Wow.
And bring him a gift for their new baby boy.
Oh my gosh.
He came to church to meet me and to hear me preach. And he gave his life to Jesus.
Come on!
The goodness of God leads a man to repentance.
Wow.
A year ago, he heard a sound. It didn't say preach to him. It didn't say tell him he's lost. It didn't say read these scriptures. It just said take the man's hand and ask him to join you in praying for your meal.
Right. Wow.
Touches a man's heart. Comes to find out that he has a deeper hurt. And he prays for his wife and him to have a baby. That right there.
That's
like a year later. That's what it looks like to be a tuning fork. It's like you're in a situation. You're releasing the sound of heaven in an environment. And it's real simple. It's just responding to heaven. It's responding to the Holy Spirit's prompting. And I was so moved by that testimony this morning. Wow, how just that simple love of Jesus, the simple response to the goodness of God. And God took care of the rest, didn't he?
Right.
It wasn't just, Chris didn't do anything else but respond in that moment. That call that the person next to you, let's just ask Holy Spirit. Shelly's going to come up in just 2 seconds here. And then after she shares, we're going to transition to communion. But what Holy Spirit just said to us, let's just say yes right now. So let's just pause just a moment and just thank Holy Spirit for his promptings. God, we thank you for situations that you put us in that allow us to be Jesus in the room. God, we just thank you for divine appointments this morning. So we call our senses to alert. We wake up our senses this morning. We say, wake up eyes, wake up ears, wake up hands this morning. To our appointments this week. God, we say thank you for divine appointments, and we say yes to what you're asking of us. Help us be Jesus. Help us love this week. God, we just say thank you. Shelley, you want to come share with us?
A new seat.
Yeah. You are
am I okay to sit on it?
You are blessed.
Safe.
Would not want the feet.
I'll let you know.
I kept knowing what I wanted to say, but I always watch Danny, and Danny has all of like these notes, and they're typed out and highlighted.
But you know that Danny always changes the story and goes.
and then he speaks for almost exactly a half an hour, like it lands right in the right place. And so I was trying to do that too. I had the papers, and I started typing them up, and I was going to print them, so I printed. How to write a message. It said, find something you want to talk about. I had that. And it said, you know, do these points and this and write it like that. And so I tried doing that. And the more I tried doing that, the worse it got.
That's not me.
So
good.
Me. Right?
Yeah.
And so I decided that, you know, through this whole process, I still have the paper on how to write a message. And so I was telling Chris this morning, he got up and I'm trying to write this message and I'm like three or four papers that I'm going to throw away because they didn't say what I wanted them. And I go, you know what? I just feel like it's like just writing down a few points and then just kind of rolling with it.
Yeah.
So when I went to bed last night, I had, you know, papers that I was writing some ideas on and stuff. And God said, it's found in the mirror. Like the mirror.
Come on.
What does that have to do? And so Adolf tells me, you know, well, you know, I go, I just can't do it. I got to go to bed. And you just sleep on it. You'll probably get revelation. Just sleep on it. And I said, okay. So every time I woke up during the night, I was thinking on, because when I went to bed was about the mirror thing. And I was like, it's found in the mirror. Wow, it's so perfect. What does that mean? So all morning as I'm writing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden it dawns on me that where it's found is in the mirror. Yeah, I was way overthinking.
That's awesome.
And what read in Hebrews 1:3, he's the mirror image.
He's the mirror image. And so when you read that,
oh,
I was
wow.
like,
oh,
yeah,
my God.
Well, that's where I thought I was going.
Huh?
That isn't what God meant.
Come on. Go, Shelley.
So really, when I was taking notes, I went back and I started looking at the last time that I shared, and I was talking about, you know, the journey that I had been on. And so that's where I began again, is really talking about the journey that we've all been on, really. this season, it's been so incredible in a journey of discovery. By looking for Papa, I found me.
Right.
And then in me, I found him.
Right.
Right? So it was kind of like the weirdest thing because, you know, my whole life it's been about being better, doing better. You know, the next self-help thing makes you trying to find a truth in that that'll continue on in, you know, like whatever it is, the thing of the day to, you know, I don't know, be better somehow.
Right, right.
You know, it's about self-help or whatever. And, but what Danny's been teaching us has been about what Papa says and thinks about us. And you've been unraveling some old thoughts and ideas and bringing to life so many new truths, so many beautiful truths, right? And so my life scripture from the very beginning from getting saved was John 8:32, and it says you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. So unraveling old thoughts and ideas and bringing to light new truths has really been what the journey is about.
Right.
Right. Like,
and then Adolf talks about all the time, you know, all of the things about, you know, how we become what we think on. Right?
Right.
And so, and sometimes I think in my past life, I would think about, you know, that it's one of those things to that you need to be careful what you think because this and that. But really what I found is that all of these truths, that there's freedom in knowing all of the different truths that we've been learning on the journey that we've been on together. So there's journey, that there's freedom in knowing that God is good. It's one of our core values here, is knowing that God is good. And when we're seeing him through that filter, then we can start seeing his goodness, even in tragedy and all the crazy stuff that goes on in the world. You get to see that he's good. You start finding the good. It kind of reminds me of Mr. Rogers. I saw a quote, you know, every time there's a tragedy somewhere, somebody does the quote from Mr. Rogers that says that when he was a little boy and there was tragedy in the world, whatever it was, his mom would always say, yes, there's tragedy, but look for the helpers. Look for the people that are helping. Oh. So it's not to focus on what happened in the world, but when you start looking at the goodness in people, the people who want to help, the people, those kinds of things, it kind of changes your mindset of what you're looking at.
Right.
There's freedom in knowing that there's a solution in every situation. That's become one of my core values.
Right.
Is just start looking for solutions in the situation. We were listening to a podcast, Adolf sent it to me, from Graham Cook. And say again what it was about, where he was talking about, like, the sticky situations. What did he call it?
Oh, whenever we have problems or any type of thing where there has to be a solution, God is always, he's always ahead of us as far as whatever we're going to run into, no matter what it is.
Right.
There's always going to be provision. So the bigger the problem, the bigger the provision.
There you go. There you go.
So, good one. So listening to that, I was like, oh, that falls straight in line with what I already know. So he was really funny in this. If you guys see it, maybe I'll have him post it later for you guys to listen to it. But it was really funny. He was doing sort of a, when he was talking about it, he was doing a phone call to a friend. He was like, yeah, I got this really big problem. And he was like, yeah, I know. I was so excited too, because I know that there's a provision coming, like something big. How about you? How's things going with you? Oh, you don't have a problem? Oh, okay, well, wait. And a problem will come. Like, for you, I'm excited for you. One will come. So isn't it funny how when our, in this season of changing our minds and the way we think,
right,
even problems can be seen that, wait a minute, it's not just a problem, that means bigger provisions.
Right.
This is going to be so good. It makes you excited for the next things to come.
That's so good.
I also found that there is freedom in knowing that we become what we think on. Mm. Like, there's freedom in that. Mm-hmm. It's not really anything to be afraid of.
Right.
In my business, I think what kept it from becoming what it is today is because I believed a lie that that it would get so big I wouldn't know how to contain it. Like, instead of fear of failure, I was afraid of it succeeding. Which is still fear of failure, right?
It is.
Because I was afraid I was going to fail in the success of it. Isn't that so silly how we do that? So the freedom in becoming what we think on. So I, after I was able to jump that chicken line and believe the truth that God is going to be there every step of the way, and that I have nothing to be afraid of, because really he wants us to be a success. And if the truth of it, that he partners with us in everything that we do, it can only succeed, right? And if it gets big, then he'll send help. to help me
right.
figure it out.
Right.
There'll be a solution, right?
Right.
In this whole situation. So so all of those kinds of things built on each other now has made my business probably triple since we began in October.
Right.
It's tripled. And become even more than what I thought. And I don't know where it's going to go for the rest of the year, but I kind of know that it's going to be a success in whatever it does.
Yeah.
And however it morphs or however whatever's next, I know that it's going to be a success and it's going to be big. I keep feeling like it's going to be really big.
Wow.
And I think maybe that's what I was afraid of at first, because I was afraid it would get so big. Well, it is going to be big, but I don't know what it looks like yet. And I'm not afraid of it. I think
right.
that's going to be fun.
That's cool.
So, thinking the freedom in knowing that we become what we think on. So now I think that this is going to be big. Yep,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be good. There is freedom in knowing that love looks like something.
Mm.
Right? Love does have to look like something. I read that a long time ago. And putting that into practice sometimes doesn't, putting that into practice sometimes can be hard, but a lot of times it can be not hard. Like it can be easy. I'm looking around the room and I'm looking at all of the people that do things that show love to other people. Like sharing things, you know, you learning how to make certain foods for those of us who are on these weird diets and restrictions in our diets. It is the best thing in the world for somebody who is in this business to get to eat somebody else's food that I didn't have to make. Talk about freedom in that.
So.
Yes. Yes. And all of the fun things like that, the soap and the lotions and all the things
right.
that we get to try. So, so good. And also to people like Angie, through all the years of knowing
right,
you,
right.
to give and to give and to give
yeah,
as
yeah.
you give, whew, that has spoken. Even when I was mortified in the years before I learned how to receive, I came home once and she was scrubbing my floors on her hands and knees. And I came in, she brought him this beautiful meal and she was chatting with Adolf while he was recuperating from something. And she saw that I was way overwhelmed and she just jumped in and she did these things.
That's
and
amazing.
At first I was like, oh my God.
Right.
And then after she left and I saw how beautiful everything looked and how she made it better than what it was when she came.
Right.
Phew. Big, very big.
Yes.
But that's only one thing.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's been so many other things in all the years. So love has to look like something, right?
Yeah.
You look like love to us.
Yeah, so
you have.
Yeah, that's right. Not just to us, lots of people.
Yeah.
And
true.
Jesus. And Jesus.
Yeah.
True. True, true, true. And so, I mean, there's more. I mean, all of you guys, there's something that each one of you have done that's shown love to people. Dave, you talk to people like they're your best friend when you meet them.
Yeah.
Like,
not good.
No, actually, it's so
that's
good
great.
Because you make people feel like
welcome.
When you meet them right away, like other people looking think that you've been friends with that person forever. When in fact you probably just met them and you make them feel like they're a part of your life and that they're a part of like just everything because you see people. You actually do see them. I think there is
that's a gift.
That truly is a gift.
A gift.
That's a gift to be included in. Because I think it makes me think about a friend who told me years ago, the reason why she used to come to our house and let the kids just hang all over her is because where she lived, people didn't touch her.
Yeah.
Because she kind of had this thing that said, I'm off limits, don't bother me. But I don't think she realized she had that. So it made people stay away from her. And right. So when she came to our house, the kids didn't, they didn't have that. They didn't see that thing that says, don't touch me. They just piled on her. And so she said, the reason why I come to your house is because I'm touched. Like, people touch me. The kids touch me. You guys don't have a problem, you know, hugging me and touching me. And she said, I get filled up and then I go home.
Wow.
So, I mean, to her, that spelled love.
Right.
That's what love looks like to some people. And I think sometimes, the one other thing she said, too, is that she goes through her daily life feeling invisible. And I don't think it's just her. I think that it's a lot of people. And Dave, that's what you bring to the, that's what you bring to the body, is that I don't think anybody's invisible. I think you see everyone. And I think they know that they're seen. I think that's super good. That's a great gift. Good or bad. But that's a pretty good gift. There is freedom in knowing that there's golden people and that we get to be the finders.
Yeah.
Right.
So good.
Right.
It really is. I think in freedom, you start getting a vision, like you're able to see clearer. You're able to see people too. I know in insurance, when Lisey worked in insurance, and now one of my other daughters, Steffi, works in insurance too. The one thing that they said a lot was that people would come in, and also to the Silverbergs who've grown the business.
Right.
People used to come in just to sit and talk. And so because the business is cultivated in that, there's a lot of people that would just go and then just talk to the girls and tell them everything. And so they would sit and visit with them for a while, and then they would pay their bill and whatever else the business they had to do. But that also too, they left with feeling seen.
Right.
And feeling known for the day, even if it was just a day. And there's a lot of people, too, they said, that would come in and pay their bill once a month. Like, they have all the money in the world that they could pay for in advance online or in a check, in the mail.
Right.
But they would come in once a month. And I think it was because they got to be known and seen for a day.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
Y'all like sometimes? Because we'd be like, oh, hey, Dan. Whatever, and they were just like, hey. We just knew everybody's name, like all the regulars or whatever.
Yeah, awesome. I just hope that you know my name or whatever. Okay.
There's a lot to be said for that. I have a friend who owns the hot dog truck in town. And so once in a while, I get to work on her hot dog truck. It is the most fun ever. Because hot dogs aren't something I normally do, so it's a lot of fun to do something I don't normally do. But what I noticed about her, Kim, is that whoever comes to the window, if she's served them before, she's going to remember their name.
Wow.
And a lot of times she'll remember what their order is.
Really?
And she has a secret menu that people have, you know, created concoctions of the different ingredients she has to put on a hot dog.
Oh, that's cool.
And she'll name it after them.
That's awesome.
So it's kind of fun for them because, and it's a lot the same as, you know, everybody knows your name or whatever. It's kind of like that because people, I think, come to dine with them because they're known.
That's the one.
Because she remembers their name.
The scripture from Jeremiah on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Oh,
exactly. She said, it's not important that people know that we're Christians.
Right.
She said,
right.
It's more
right.
important that they feel our love mm-hmm. for people. Right?
Right.
So it's really more important.
Because it's going to lead them to.
It really will. And she said, too, that there have been times where people who, she doesn't know if they're believers or not, but they'll come and they'll just, you know, they'll say, yeah, my whatever is not feeling well, you know, a family member is not feeling well. And then the next time they come around, they'll ask about them, how's your family member? You remembered that? And she would say, yeah, we remembered that. Do you know, we prayed for them. How are they doing? And they'll say, they're doing fine or whatever it is. So now they're being known as people who care about their community.
That's cool.
I think that's pretty good. So going back to the mirror, it's found in the mirror. The scripture that I was looking for, because of the journey that we've been on, the thing that's happened to us, I thought, you know, the scripture that best says the journey we've been on is Romans 12:2, right?
Oh, yeah, so good.
And I was thinking the transforming of the mind. Where is that scripture? Okay, I remember that where that was. And so I went to the mirror because I like the way it says things. Don't warn me that it would be found in the mirror, but here it is. It says, do not allow current religious tradition to mold you into a pattern of reasoning. Okay, that's the journey we've been on with what Danny's been teaching us, right? Like an inspired artist, give attention to the detail of God's desire to find expression in you. Become acquainted with perfection. To accommodate yourself to the delight and good pleasure of Him will transform your thoughts afresh from within. So I went on because I'm thinking, okay, the next scripture seems to fit. Oh, so does the next one.
Oh,
yeah.
So does the next one.
So my next question after reading that is, what happens when we gather together armed with these truths? What's next? What happens next? So this is what happens next. His grace gift inspires me to say to you that your thinking must be consistent with everything that is within you according to the measure of your faith. That's what Adolf's been teaching us, right? Okay.
Right.
So, of your faith that God has a portion to every individual, let the revelation of redemption shape your thoughts.
So good.
Yep. So, the parallel is clear. We're going on four now. There are many different members in one body. This answers the question of what happens when we gather together armed with these truths. This is it. The parallel is clear. There are many different members in one body, yet not one competes with the other in function. Instead, every individual member co-complements.
So good.
Right.
So the way Angie loves, the way Dave friends people, the way Dion just throws in and does the things that she does, and the way Lisi has, you know, included people too, like all of the different things that all of us have done. This is all of us together, and we all complement one another. Our gifts may differ in function, but His grace is the same. If it is your turn to prophesy, let faith and not a title be your inspiration. The same goes for every aspect of ministry, whether it be serving or to give instruction or to just be there alongside someone to remind them of their true identity. That's what we all do, I think, in a lot of ways. Always let faith set the pace. You are intertwined with your gift, wrapped up in the same parcel. Mm-hmm. Lead with passion. Minister mercy cheerfully.
Yeah.
So good enough.
That is.
Yeah.
Is that through verse 4?
Through verse 8.
And you're not done.
I'm not done.
Okay, well.
Because there's more. Because it's found in the mirror. Love without any hidden agenda. Utterly detest evil. Be glued to good.
Yeah, that's good.
Take tender care of one another with fondness and affection. Esteem one another's unique value. Checking out gold there, right?
Right.
Finding it. Do not allow any hesitation to interrupt the rhythm of your zeal. Capture the moment. Maintain the boiling point intensity of spirit devotion to the Lord.
Boiling point intensity.
Wow.
Delight yourself in the pleasure of expectation. Prayer prevails victoriously under pressure. Mm-hmm. Wow. Purpose with resolve to treat strangers as saints. Mm. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good. That's Pursue and embrace them with fondness as friends on equal terms of fellowship. Mm. Right?
Right.
So good.
Way to go, Dave.
Yep. Make yourself useful in the most practical way possible. Even if it's feeding people candy out of your dish, right, Darla, at work. Just make sure they're tanked with sugar. They're good. They come back.
They do.
And then it gives you opportunity to love them well. Continue to speak well, even if someone wants to take advantage of you. Bless and do not blame when you feel exploited. Do not merely act the role in someone else's gladness or grief. Feel with them in genuine joy and compassion. Right. We can all do that, can't we? Esteem everyone with the same respect. No one is more important than the other. Associate yourself rather with the lowly than with the lofty. Do not distance yourself from others in your own mind. Two wrongs do not make a right. Never retaliate. Instead, cultivate the attitude to anticipate only beauty and value in every person you encounter.
Wow.
Yep, I think that's what the Silverbergs do best. Yeah, they do. You have within you what it takes to be everyone's friend, regardless of how they treat you. Right, Dave?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Do not bother yourselves to get even, dear ones. Do not let anger or irritation distract you. That which we have in common with one another, righteousness, must set the pace. Scripture confirms that the Lord himself is the revealer of righteousness. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. We've all been fed by Angie, haven't we? Friend or foe, I think. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. These acts of kindness will certainly rid your enemy of the dross in his mind and win him as a friend.
Wow.
Do not let evil be an excuse for you to feel defeated. Mm-hmm. Rather, seize the opportunity to turn the situation into a victory for good.
That's what you're saying about solutions.
Solutions, yep. You can always find a solution in a situation. So.
How far did you go?
All the way to the end. The whole chapter.
Okay.
Yep, awesome. It was the whole chapter.
That's amazing.
So everything that I found freedom in was found in Romans today, 12.
That is awesome.
In the mirror.
In the mirror.
That's very interesting.
So that's all I have today, guys.
Right.
Really, that's
quite a mouthful. Thank you.
And really, it's about communion is about us being conformed back to the image of who we originally were created. Now, Jesus had a different DNA because this Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. That's why she became pregnant.
Right.
And so he's the one that brought that into our existence, right?
Right.
Okay. And so so really what we're talking about is returning back to our original design as spirit beings, because we're created before the foundation of the world. So even before we were even born, we were around. We were spirit beings. And then at the right time, the choosing of the Father, when our mom and dad came together, then we were born. But we already existed as spirit beings. And so what happened whenever we came through the birth canal and all that, the record of Adam, the record of the fallen nature becomes imprinted in us, because we're coming through and picking up the record of our mom and dad's, whatever our ancestry line had, it becomes part of our record. And so after we're born, we begin to have like amnesia, where we begin to forget who we really were.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm just going to read a few verses here. The first one's from John 6:58, and it says, "This is the bread that has come down from heaven. It is not like the bread the fathers ate. They're dead. But whoever eats this bread will live forever."
Mm-hmm.
Will live forever. And then the other one, John 6:51 says, "I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever." There it is again. "Furthermore, the bread that I will give you is my own flesh, and I will give it for the life of the world. So there's a purpose. There's a purpose, right?
Yep.
Okay, so, and here's another one. This is a really good one, too. This is John 6:53-57. It says, "Then Yeshua said to them, 'Yes, indeed, I tell you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That is, I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I live in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live through the Father, so also whoever eats me will live through me." And so that's the other explanation of the oneness, the prayer that he prayed, right? So communion also has to do with us coming into that place of oneness with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so then I... 1 Corinthians, it says, 11:23-25 says, "For what I have received from the Lord is just what I pass on to you, that the Lord Yeshua, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had made the blessing, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memorial of to me.' Likewise, also the cup after the meal, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant affected by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, as a memorial to me.'" So I looked up that word in the King James. It says remembrance. This one said memorial, and it's a Greek word, and it's anamnesis. And so I looked up the definition from the. It was a Platonic philosophical thing. It says the remembering of things from a supposed previous existence.
Whoa.
Come on.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Say that again.
The remembering of things from a supposed previous existence. So really what's it saying? It's saying, hey, we need to remember who we were when we first were created.
Right.
Before we were born.
Right.
As spirit beings.
That's so good.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
Wow. Okay, so as I'm thinking all about these things, I'm also remembering David. King David did some things that weren't allowed in the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so, who was it? Oh, this, and they actually quoted it, I think, in Luke chapter 6. It says, "Now it happened that as he was passing through some grain fields on a Sabbath, and his disciples were picking the heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating the grain. But some of the Pharisees said, 'Why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' And Jesus answered them and said, 'Have you not even read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered into the house of God and took and ate the consecrated bread, that is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest alone, and he gave it to his companions.'" So David was living out of a different existence. He was living from the future in his present. It wasn't supposed to happen. Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies to eat the bread or to get the bread, right? And so David learned how to pull his future into his present. Because it was a lot of stuff that he did, because he saw into the future. He had that intimate relationship with God, even though he didn't have him in him, he was on him, but he was still able to see things in the future.
Wow.
And he brought them back into his present. I mean, that's amazing. And then, so this thing dropped in my mind when I was thinking about it. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, it says, "Look, I will tell you a secret. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. And it will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, at the final shofar. For the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever, and we too will be changed. For this material, which can decay, must be clothed with imperishability. This which is mortal must be clothed with immortality. When what decays puts on imperishability, and what is mortal puts on immortality. then this passage in the Old Testament will be fulfilled. Death is filled up in victory. Death, mm-hmm. where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? And so, I'm thinking to myself, man, I mean, these are prophetic words of who we're supposed to be, right. of what the capacity that they've given us to pull our future into our present.
Good.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome? And then, I got more stuff here, but anyways, what I'm going to do here is this is what happens when we take communion. We're talking about frequency and resonance. So we're here to learn how do we live from our future or to bring the future into our present. So when we take communion, the blood has the resonance of God in Christ. Because of the Holy Spirit that came on Mary, right? So the blood holds the record of the DNA that gives our spirit an anchor of that resonance. Mm-hmm. The sound vibration to bring to our body and our spirit and our soul, it brings it into divine order. Mm-hmm. So that resonance is in the blood, mm-hmm. when we drink it. And then the body is a record of the power of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. It's the life that flows from that body, from his body. The record of his body gives our spirit something to release into our body. You take on the image of the record when you take communion. You eat the power of the resurrection. It gives your spirit the resonance and the anchor to come into the fullness of the expression of the resurrection power of Christ. So when we're taking our elements, it's just, it's like the tuning fork that Danny was talking about. So there's a greater tuning fork. So you have two tuning forks. You hit this one, and then you hit this one. And the one with the greater resonance, the lower one, will begin to resonate at the same frequency.
Right.
And so he's the greater one. So when we strike that resonance by taking communion, after a while it's going to come into that same resonant frequency. To change us back to who we were, and change our bodies. I mean, there's nothing impossible, right? Change our body, mm-hmm. to be able to pull our future into our present. So, with that, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's kind of a lot to take in, but when we take communion, we need to take it from a place of his presence. So by faith we just step into the holy place, into the place of where he is in heaven, you know, in our imagination, and then we take communion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with that, let's take communion.
Yeah.
I borrowed this prayer from Ian Clayton, so I'm going to read it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Father, today we lift the cup. Lord Jesus, your word says, first of all, in your imagination, step into the heavenly realm. Your word says that this is your blood. You shed your blood and you gave it. Today I ask that this would change to your body, your blood by faith, because your blood carries all the potential of all that there is in the Godhead. Even as the Godhead are one in their strength singularly and testify that they're one, all that record is in the blood. Lord, when I drink this blood, my body and my soul and spirit have the capacity to reproduce this blood with the DNA that it carries to make me into something different. Mm. Father, your word says, until Christ is formed in me. Lord, today as a corporate body of people, we come into agreement and testify that this cup is your blood, that we are in you, and when we drink this, we become one with your presence. Mm-hmm. With the full knowledge of the DNA and the full desire to become one with your presence, Lord, we drink today in the name of Jesus. Mm. All right?
And the bread too?
No, just do this.
Oh.
And now for the body. Father, today we take this piece of bread, according to your word and Jesus' decree that this is your body, the carrier of the record that testifies to the capacity for us to be conformed into your image. Father, today by faith we take hold of this bread and say, this is the body of Jesus Christ, the remembrance of the resurrection power and glory of what he did to make a way for us to become spirit beings again. Mm-hmm. It has the record to enable us and quicken us to become who we have been called to be on the earth. Father, we eat it today by faith with full knowledge that it makes us one with you, one with your desire, one with your will, one with your school, and one with the testimony of what you have written. It is all in your body, and we eat it today in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Awesome.
Good work,
Thank you. Oh. So, I was reading about this other guy, actually two guys, Brother Lawrence, and then there was another guy that did the same thing. I can't remember his last name, but his first name was Frank. He's a modern day mystical guy, and I think he passed away like in the 70s or whatever, but anyway, he pretty much did the same thing as Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence, what he would do is every meal that he sat down to, it would be just like communion. So with every bite and with every sip of drink, he was taking communion. So I would encourage us all to just have that same mindset.
There you
so
go.
When we sit down to eat, doesn't matter, I mean throughout the day, every
cookie
meal.
Brownies,
milk.
We have.
Those cookies.
Parmesan crackers,
yep.
And avocado.
We have. We use brownies in our communion. We have.
So,
you just bless everyone so that we can. Are you finished?
Almost.
Yeah.
So I would encourage everybody to do that, and then just keep that in mind of what's happening when you're taking communion. It's simple, and it keeps us centered in the heavenly place when we do that. All right.
Awesome.